Sports Vault Podcast.
Sports Vault Podcast. I'm Jay Reed. And of course, I got my man B in the building as usual. What's up, B?
What's going on? What up, Bandits? We got some hot stuff to talk about, man. Jay, what we talking about?
Of course, man. DeMarcus Cousins, man. We got some audio, some clips. I mean, we're going to say alleged because we have no idea, you know what I mean, how accurate. We're going to say alleged for right now. We're going to give my man DeMarcus Cousins the benefit of the doubt, man. This video that was released, man, it's not looking too good. I mean, I know he's going to be on the sidelines for this season. But what this video that I just heard today, man, it's crazy. I couldn't quite believe my ears. I know you heard the clip. I mean, what you think about this man's aggression on this alleged video with DeMarcus Cousins?
It's definitely wild, man. I feel like he's going through a lot right now, man. I could definitely feel his frustration, like, through the phone call. It seems like he's, like, super serious, and I just pray this goes easy.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I mean, I know how serious threats are taken in today's climate. I mean, you definitely can't make not random threats, but you can't make any kind of threats towards anybody's life. That's definitely going to be taken serious. We're going to see what the future repercussions are after all the facts are straightened out. I'm gonna let this clip play, and you know we gonna get back into it, cause it's serious. I'm gonna let this clip play.
Go shoot the ball. All
right.
No, he's not coming.
So that's the clip. That's the clip, B. I mean, you just heard it.
Oh, my goodness.
After hearing the clip, just raw and uncut, I mean, it sounds like a recorded conversation from the mother of his child from a previous relationship. DeMarcus Cousins, just to give a little background to the situation, DeMarcus Cousins got married over this past weekend. He made a phone call to the mother of his child to have his son attend this wedding, and this is supposedly the results of a recorded conversation from his baby mom, the mother of his child. Man, this is a domestic situation. It's serious, man. I mean, this sounds like a crazy clip, and I mean, once the facts, you know, do shake out, you know, I'm really interested to see what penalties is going to come behind this man's words.
Man, yeah, it's definitely upsetting to see, man, especially with, his career. Like, he's injured right now, and now he's having, like, some personal issues. I mean, I don't wish any bad problems on anybody, man. And I don't think DeMarcus Cousins really means what he says. But I definitely feel like he's in a place right now where he doesn't want to be, like, poked. And he wants to be taken very seriously. And I think sometimes some relationships may go bad, and sometimes they get really ugly. And I think this is the epitome of a bad relationship, or at least a conversation of a possible bad relationship. So it's kind of upsetting, but I hope it was just words, and he's not putting any actions behind this, because I'm a DeMarcus Cousins fan, and to hear this, it's kind of upsetting.
Definitely, and I can't help to think about the child in this situation. You know, that's definitely got to be the main thing. Even though it is a blended family, it's still a family situation. So I'm sure that this man still has a huge spot in his heart for the mother of his child. And at the end of the day, I highly doubt that he would ever, you know, wish any real harm. I mean, we do have the audio clip, and what we're able to hear is what we're able to hear. But, you know, I'm a DeMarcus Cousins fan as well. So I think that these words were said in the heat of a moment out of anger. So I don't really want to blow this piece of information out of proportion. We're going to have to see what kind of actions the Lakers take. The NBA is going to take. They're already, the Lakers franchise is already working on, you know, trying to build in a replacement for this man while this information is coming out. And, you know, we just hope that this, you know, that whole situation turns out positive. The Lakers definitely have a lot going on, especially with, you know, with him being injured. So they decided to, you know, of course, bring in Dwight Howard. They signed him on a deal that's real. It's a real short string. It's a real short leash that they got this man on. He's going to be wearing number 39, but the leash is short with Dwight Howard, man. I mean, his fit with the Lakers is up in the air.
Dwight Howard, yeah, man, it's his second time there. I'm hoping big things for him, man. I hope him and LeBron have a good season. Him and AD just hold down the post like they should, man. They're two big guys who all-stars. And they definitely shown pedigree that they're Hall of Famers as well. So, I think DeMarcus Cousins kind of falling back and then redirecting his focus on Dwight Howard, I think, is definitely a good thing. I think it's a positive motion for the Lakers. They're making healthy decisions, man. They're definitely thinking about being championship contenders. And I'm interested to see this, what the 2019-2020 season brings for the Los Angeles Lakers.
True. Now, the Lakers reportedly plan to hold Howard accountable with this new deal. I mean, his contract contains a zero salary protection. I mean, he will get paid $14,490 each day he remains on the roster starting from October 21st. Now, that the Lakers have already warned him that if he doesn't fit in or he is any kind of distraction, they have a clause in his contract where they can release this man with no repercussions. I think that's going to make a difference. I mean, he is 33 years old. Hopefully he's matured a little bit. There is another Laker great who doesn't seem to quite believe in Howard having a big impact on his upcoming season, and that's my man Shaq. When asked about the addition, he actually said, Dwight who? So, you know, at this point, he's not really getting any respect. So I believe that Dwight Howard is going to have to step on the floor, you know, improve himself after his first tenure with the Lakers. It didn't end so well. He was playing with the Black Mamba. And he folded under the pressure. Now he's dealing with, you know, some criticism from some other Laker greats. But, you know, Shaq's always been critical of Dwight Howard. But the big man at this point, he's going to have to step on the court. And he's going to have to, you know, prove some people wrong. And, you know, show he's, you know, matured as a man and can fit in as a team player.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I remember actually Dwight Howard having that whole, like, Superman ordeal. And Shaq was saying, like, I'm the only Superman. And it's, I mean, it's interesting to see because, Shaq is actually, probably go down as one of like the better, bigger, centers in the league. And, his time at LA is, at that position are really big shoes to fill. I think, Kobe understood it, and that's why Kobe and Dwight had their differences, because Kobe definitely recognized what it takes for a man in that position to be successful and what power that brings, and him winning those championships with Shaquille O'Neal definitely shows. And it's just interesting to see, man. I think Kobe said it today. He said if Shaq hit the gym, like if the man hit the gym, he would have had 12 rings. Like, think about how dominant that man was, and he wasn't hitting the gym. I mean, it's crazy, man. What do you think about what Kobe said about him and Shaq?
I mean, Kobe has a legendary work ethic. I mean, his work ethic is really second to none. I mean, the only person's work ethic that comes to mind as far as like a trainer mentality is Michael Jordan when it comes to that kind of drive and that killer mentality. And when he said that, I think we all knew exactly what he meant by that. Shaq was just such a dominant, natural, physical presence that he didn't really have to put much effort into dominating his opponents. I mean, I know he worked on his game, but yeah, if he was in shape, I know they dropped a couple opportunities to win championships towards the end of their time together because of Shaq being out of condition. But yeah, that Mamba mentality, man, it's hard. So, you know, with Dwight Howard, like I said, he folded under the pressure being with Kobe. But, you know, Kobe is going to be Kobe. He still has a heavy presence in that building. So I know he's going to be down at the games, down at the practices, you know, making sure that, you know, everybody's in the right place and running the right schemes at the right times. But I'm excited to see where the Lakers go with this season, man. It's definitely going to be tough. It's a lot of things changing. It's a lot of things going on, a lot of free agent signings. My man Joe Johnson did his thing in the Big Three. You know, we got the championship for the Big Three coming up on Sunday. Lisa Leslie is actually the coach. And this is unprecedented to see, you know, a female head coach, you know, lead a team to the championship. This is actually her first year, you know, coaching in the Big Three, and it's definitely paying off dividends. So, the championship game, that's going to be held on Sunday. But because my man Joe Johnson was the MVP of this season, he's actually got some workouts with my team, the Sixers. So we're going to see if he can, you know, make the roster. I definitely wouldn't mind having Joe Johnson. He's a solid, solid player. He's a solid scorer. We're going to work him out on Thursday. He is 38 years old, but I think he might have one or two good seasons left in the tank, maybe as a spot-up shooter. I think he definitely would have a role. He does have other workouts lined up besides the Sixers. I mean, the New Orleans Pelicans are interested in him. He has a workout set up with the Los Angeles Clippers, the Milwaukee Bucks, as well as the Denver Nuggets. With this Big Three, man, what you think about that? It's definitely a showcase, a platform for players who can't get in the NBA to showcase their abilities to have an opportunity to now get back into the NBA.
I think it's beautiful, man. Ice Cube's actually, I think he's a genius, man, behind this whole thing. His entity just carries a level of integrity that it just ramifies throughout that whole Big Three, man, and it shows all the way through Lisa Leslie to Joe Johnson, man. I think this is actually putting Joe Johnson in a certain mood, a certain feel, where, like, even though he's not, like, winning something big, he's winning. You know what I mean? He's being recognized for his talent, which I think is a great thing for him. If he's coming in the NBA and he's looking to be a spot up shooter for the Sixers, I mean, there you have it. I could see the Sixers in the NBA, the NBA championship toward the end of this. So it's definitely interesting, man. I'm happy for Joe. I'm happy for Leslie. I'm happy for Ice Cube. I'm happy for all. It's good, man. I love it. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa Leslie has won Coach of the Year honors in the Big Three after leading the triplets to Saturday's title game. Now, the league was announced Tuesday. Lisa Leslie is a Hall of Famer for the WNBA. She's a legend herself. She is the second woman to win this award, which is voted by the players and the coaches in the league. You know, last year, Nancy Lieberman won the award after leading the Power to the Big Three championship. So Lisa Leslie is, you know, she's definitely a OG veteran in the game. You know, it is amazing to see her on a different stage that I wasn't expecting to see her on, but actually leading men to a championship matchup. And I'm actually going to take a look at that Big Three matchup because I'm interested in it. Like I said, you know, Joe Johnson is definitely going to play a factor in this upcoming season if he's able to land on the right team. So, you know, we're definitely going to see that. Another thing that's going on right now is a lot of these young players are signing shoe deals. My man R.J. Barrett from the New York Knicks has signed a deal with Puma, who's on the come up. Now, Zion signed with Jordan. I'm a heavy Jordan fan. Zion signed with Jordan. But this Puma deal is interesting because we're not used to seeing Puma as a basketball brand. I believe going back to DeMarcus Cousins is actually a brand ambassador for Puma. He actually signed a deal with Puma along with Danny Green, which is another Los Angeles Laker player. But R.J. Barrett signing with Puma, choosing you know, over Jordan or over Nike and over Under Armour, who's also heavy. But, you know, this Puma deal opening up for basketball, man. I know you're heavy into the kick game. I know you know your sneaks, man. So how do you feel about Puma crossing over into this realm, stepping onto the basketball court, getting these basketball players involved?
I think it's great, man. It's a great opportunity for RJ Barrett. It's a great opportunity for Puma. And it's another also great opportunity for the New York Knicks. Definitely, I'm always interested to see what these other different sport kind of supply organizations, however you want, these sport entities that actually create supplies for the NBA players. Like Puma isn't known for basketball sneakers, but I'm sure they have some great minds. I'm sure they have great artists, good innovative people who can actually create something new. And I would love to see RJ Barrett shoe line, like a chronological shoe, like maybe Jordan or LeBron or other great players. And I wouldn't be surprised if I buy a pair, man. It's good, man. I like it.
Yeah, definitely wanted to support the brand. I mean, Puma is innovating right now, so they're making different styles. I know they have some upcoming NBA players who they have deals with that we don't know about. But yeah, like you said, it's definitely good to see, you know, some young talent sign and give these new brands a chance. Jordan brand is always going to be at the top of the chart. Nike's always going to be at the top of the chart. Adidas is heavy. I think they have a heavy hitter in James Harden. That's the face of their shoe game right now. But we're definitely going to be following the shoe game and the heat on the feet. You know what I mean? The heat on the feet for this upcoming season. You know, all the NBA players, of course, we know the heavy hitters like LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who are known to drop their signature shoes around the same time every year. We also have, you know, players like Paul George, who has a signature shoe. But, you know, Paul George might have taken a hit with that Zion shoe blowout last season. It didn't look too good for the PGs. I don't know how that's going to affect this year's upcoming sales. He did make the move to the Clippers. So hopefully when he drops them PGs this year that, you know, people are going to, you know, run to the Foot Lockers and the Finish Lines and grab him a pair. You know, hopefully, you know, it won't be too much of a competition between him and his own teammate, Kawhi Leonard, who actually has an interesting deal himself with New Balance brand. Which is actually more unique of a situation than I feel like Puma is. I mean, I don't know any other NBA player currently besides Kawhi Leonard who has a New Balance deal, but that's right up his alley being different, man. What you think about, you know, a New Balance deal with my man Kawhi Leonard being different out here?
Kawhi, man, a huge fan. I took a look at his sneakers. I'm not too sure if you've seen them. Not appealing, not the most appealing sneaker, but I'm sure it serves its purpose. I mean, it's holding one of the top, I'd say top three players in the world right now. It's his gear. So, I mean, for sure, I think it's, I wouldn't, if I see a pair and someone gave them to me, like, hey, would you wear these? Would you play a game in these? Absolutely, I'm going to take them. But I'm not going to go off for like, I'm not going to go in the mall and just, like, strictly go out and look for, like, a New Balance Kawhi sneaker. That shoe's not appealing to me. But you get some new LeBrons, some Jordans coming out. Now you got my interest.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have interest. Anytime you're talking Jordan, anytime you're talking LeBron, you're definitely going to have, you know, interest in that section. But, you know, we're going to follow the heat on the feet this upcoming season, man, because, you know, it's definitely going to a whole different level now that you're able to wear whatever shoe that you want to on your feet now. There's no sort of color restrictions that are held in place. I'm glad that Adam Silver has lifted this restriction. He's actually, you know, I'm going to put him a notch above David Stern. I think he's taken the NBA to a more broad level. I think he's opened up the overseas to different countries, especially China, the foreign the foreign contribution to the NBA and the audience is at an all time high, and I think it's just part of, you know, letting players be unique and be themselves. That's part of what the issue is with Major League Baseball, not letting their players express their personalities with things of that nature. But the fact that the NBA players can, you know, venture out and sign different shoe deals with, you know, companies that's not known for being basketball sneaker shoe producers is it just shows how we've evolved in the times and the individualisms that's able to be expressed through these kicks. It's definitely exciting. I'm going to have a pair of LeBrons on deck, a pair of Jordans on deck for this upcoming season. I know the All-Star break always brings new All-Star releases. So we definitely going to make sure that, you know, we feeding you with all things Kicks on the Sports Vault podcast, where we cover everything basically on this show, literally from head to toe. But, you know, my man B, he specializes, you know, in a section for all things sports and all things Kicks. So, you know, we're going to leave it right there. Sports Vault Podcast. I'm Jay Reed. Be in the building, man. You know, with NFL season approaching, we got a holdout to discuss here. My man Jadeveon Clowney is in a holdout situation with the Houston Texans. This man seems to want to get paid. That seems to be going around a lot lately. People want to get paid, you know, before the season gets starts. You know, the injury factors is heavy on everybody's mind. It's a lot of catastrophic injuries that took place these past couple of seasons that have people itching to secure their money. So it's definitely understandable. He's interested in the Eagles and the Seahawks. You know, he doesn't want to sign that franchise tag that was offered to him that was worth $15.9 million. He wants a long-term contract for security. So he's in a current situation that's a holdout, which is a course sparked all kinds of trade rumors, with his desired location being rumored to be the Philadelphia Eagles and the Seahawks. But he can't be moved until he signs his franchise tag. So that's gonna have to take place first. He is 26 years old, man, but you know he's holding out for this money, and that is at the age where he's trying to get paid. How you feel about players at this day and age holding out and not really fulfilling their contracts, and wanting to go out? Well, this man, he's looking for a long term contract, but you know, it seems to be a bit of a situation.
I think with time things just kind of evolve, man, and I think his situation. Where he was at Houston, right?
Houston Texans.
Yeah, I think his time there, I think he's given it some thought, and I think a lot of players just want to win, man. They want to be contenders. They want to get a run at that chip, man. That's like the big dream that they always thought about. So I think him recognizing Seattle or Philly, I think he wants to probably maybe work with the Seahawks coach. He recognizes maybe. A lot of what he learned teaching Marshawn Lynch or coaching Marshawn Lynch, good work ethic or any good things from teaching him, he feel like he can imply on himself going there. That's what I think. That's probably the best positive nature I would think of that.
Yeah.
And then I think him going to but I think his best bet at being a Super Bowl contender is at Philly. So
yeah.
I think him wanting to learn and getting his money and being a Super Bowl contender, just getting the most out of his career, I think, is on the forefront of his mind right now.
Yeah, the Eagles could definitely use him on the line next to Fletcher Cox. I mean, the pressure that they're going to be able to put on the quarterback is just going to be different. You know, the Eagles, you know, battling with some other injuries right now. My man Deshaun Jackson, who I'm extra crazy excited about being back on the roster this year. He actually, you know, broke his finger in training camp, and he's, you know, it could take 3 to 4 weeks for him to be out there, but he's going to throw a splint on his ring finger, and you know, it's going to be a day-to-day situation to see how fast I really believe it's going to heal. But he's reportedly scheduled to try out a custom splint tomorrow to see if he can, you know, play through the ailment. I think he's going to be on there. Even though he's a light statured guy, he's got a huge heart, and I think he's going to step out on that field and show out. He's a Pro Bowl wideout who is definitely, his average per catch is amongst the highest in the NFL every season, and I believe all time as well. So he's definitely going to provide that long ball that Carson Wentz needs to, you know, stretch the field and go down the field. And, you know, we're going to need that, especially, you know, with that matchup that we have. You know, we dropped two big games to the Cowboys last year. I'm hoping it's going to be different this year. They took two from us last year. We had to hear it, you know, the whole season from Cowboys fans. But, you know, I'm hoping it's going to be a different story this year, especially with all the turmoil they got going on over there with my man Zeke. still in Cabo. You know, my man Zeke still in Cabo right now.
Better living.
You know, he's prepared to miss regular season games, and now Jerry Jones is saying he just wants him back for the playoffs. I mean, I think that's borderline disrespectful to allow this man to sit out, you know, to imply that you don't need him for a whole season. You know, I was thinking that if he was thinking from a personal level, Zeke is it's a lot of numbers being risked. Like, if you sit out a whole season, I believe the effect that would have on his numbers and his legacy, you know, it would really, you know, play a factor in his long-term Hall of Fame aspirations. But, you know, Jerry Jones saying this man, he just wants him back for the playoffs. Playoffs?
Yeah, man, I think it's just, man, Jerry Jones isn't new to running the team. He isn't new to football players. I don't want to say holding out, but just like, just not handling business the right way, man. I think Zeke, I mean, if he wants his money, he's definitely, I don't think he's going about it the right way. But I think ultimately it's just Jerry Jones just giving him time, really not giving up on him, but just recognizing that he just needs to mature. And I think that's just coming from Jerry Jones' experience of just being where he is and doing it over time. So yeah. I think Zeke definitely needs some maturing. Just I think they might even scare him. Like, he might come back and I think this new guy might have a good start. He might do good for the Cowboys and it might put some fear in Ezekiel's heart, man. And make him really think about his career, man, and have him put in perspective that, I mean, you could be here one day and go on the next. So
yeah, right now Elliott has 2 years remaining on his current deal, but he's looking to be among the top paid running backs in the NFL. Now, when asked about the lack of progress in the contract talks, Jerry Jones insists that Elliott's previous off-the-field incidents have not held up discussions. He's quoted as saying, "I'm very comfortable off the field with Zeke. He certainly has had two or three issues, but that's not a factor." So he's saying that his off-the-field issues are not playing a factor whatsoever in this deal not getting done. We are getting closer to the season opener. Is this a real threat situation for him to miss an entire regular season or just a few regular season games? I think we have to wait and see how this is going to play itself out. Right now, my man Zeke is in Cabo, living a good life and enjoying himself, man. So we definitely going to have to see, when he decides to, you know, take that flight back from Cabo to Texas and suit up, man. But that's still up in the air right now.
I don't even know what's going on in Dallas right now. This is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, he's saying that it's not. I mean, I think Jerry Jones just kind of wants to. Like, he likes the publicity, but he likes being in control of it at the same time. He likes the attention, but he likes to redirect it. Those questions definitely sound like they could definitely stir up some internal issues at the in the organization. But Jerry Jones, he just accepts it. I think he recognizes it, and he just goes about it in a way that makes people not worry too much. He's very nonchalant about the situation, and he just has faith, man. So I think his reading and reacting is actually very well when he's being asked these questions that would intimidate most coaches or general managers.
Oh yeah, Jerry Jones definitely knows. He's very aware or cognizant of what's being said around him, of what he says, of the effect of his words on the media and the press. And it's a bit of, like a third party conversation going on. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, Zeke is saying things that are being aimed at the Cowboys. And, you know, Jerry Jones has said things that have been aimed at Zeke. But, you know, it seems to be indirect. But according to this man's quotes, he has the kind of relationship that, you know, is basically also on a level where it can be like this and they can still, not have an effect on the business part of the money discussions. But personal relationships is big right now. It's a former personal relationship that seems to be going a little sour right now. Antonio Brown, apparently has no interest in rekindling his friendship with Ben Roethlisberger. It's some shots going back and forth, man. A lot of things were said during AB's time in Pittsburgh about Roethlisberger. Of course, we all are aware of Roethlisberger's reputation. But, you know, Brown rejected Roethlisberger's, extending out to him to, you know, kind of reconcile the situation. You know, he called and he reached out to Brown. But at this point, it doesn't seem like the two sides have been able to come together. This deteriorating relationship between these two, it was apparent last season. And I think that's the reason why AB ultimately left, Pittsburgh. But, you know, it's a lot of feelings involved. I always say that's always a lot of feelings involved. You know, these are professional athletes, but they still have pride and they still have egos, man. But, you know, Antonio Brown has his money. I think he should just move on with this situation with the Raiders and focus on his health. But this situation with Ben Roethlisberger, you know, it's interesting because they played a long time together. You would think they would have a better, you know, a more of an amicable split, you know, after, you know, a better success that they had out there.
Man, it's tough, man. It's definitely tough. And those are usually one of the better relationships, like the quarterback and the wide receiver. Man, it's tough, man. I think AB just wanted to be respected, man. I think he just wants to be recognized for his talent, man. He's definitely the world knows how good AB is, but I think being in the Pittsburgh organization and you're standing behind Ben Roethlisberger, who came in, he's a star quarterback, he's brought a few championships to the city. So, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you're a giant to some, but then when you're next to somebody who's like timeless, will go down in history, while you're making your own history at the same time, it kind of dims his light. And I think Antonio Brown just wants to shine, man. I think he wants to be recognized for his talent. So it's upsetting that I feel like Ben Roethlisberger didn't respect him to a degree, and he's acknowledging it now, and that's why he's saying the things he's saying now.
Yeah.
And I think AB was AB's at the point where he's like, if it meant something, you should have said it when it mattered. Now that you're saying something, he's basically telling him to shut up, which is understandable.
Exactly, man. So, you know, it must have been a lot of animosity brewing during it. There's no way that this just happened overnight. You know, usually there's this sort of bitterness. You know, it's sometimes brothers fight. You know, the people that you're the closest to can sometimes, you know, they know what buttons to push, you know, how to aggravate you. You know, the wide receivers definitely have a label as a diva. I don't believe that either one of them would be at this point in their careers without the other one. When we're considering AB's accolades and his accomplishments, who was throwing him the football? Ben Roethlisberger. He definitely, you know, targeted AB. He made sure that he got his touches. You know, watching Pittsburgh Steelers games, it's apparent that, you know, he was intentionally going to make sure that he was focusing on Antonio Brown. And why not? You know, he's a top three wide receiver. I did see on a couple of people's projections on this upcoming season that he's not in the top five category for this upcoming season, to me, which is crazy. But I definitely feel like, you know, their careers will always be, you know, intertwined and go hand in hand together. You know, so their legacies are going to pretty much go down in history together. So I believe when it's all said and done, you know, maybe after this season is done and over with, they can link up and, you know, go over each other's house and have a cookout and you know, make sure everything is, you know, back to the way it needs to be. And they can focus on, you know, being great and getting this money and taking advantage. The same way that the NFL is trying to take advantage right now, man, it's been, a proposed situation for the next collective bargain agreement. They trying to expand the season. You know, the first thing I think of when I think about expanding the season is more money, more revenue. They really want to expand the playoffs, cut down on the preseason, maybe put in effect the 18 game regular season, expand the playoff situation. But, you know, those familiar with the league's inner workings during this process of negotiations are, you know, they're convinced that the preseason will be shortened two games and they'll actually add that on to the playoffs. How you feel about it? Extending more football, the better,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just going to say that. More football, man, and I love it, man. It couldn't come here sooner and it couldn't last any longer, man. Man, that's just something about, man, Sunday football, man, just waking up, man, just hanging with the guys, throwing something on the grill, even when it's cold out, man, just some brews and just, and watching some photo, good old football, man. I love it, man. And if I could have more Sundays like that, man, I'm all for it. I think it gives the players a bigger check. You know what I mean? I think it's just all good. Maybe there's some bad things may come from this, but it could get tweaked along the way. So
let's expand a little bit more on the bad things of an expanded season. You know, that's more taxing physically on the body.
Yes.
They said every tackle is like a car collision. They compare every tackle to a car collision. So you got to think, you know, that's two extra games. As sports fans, we always going to feel like the more football, the better. Now, it depends on the way they add the games in. They definitely would have to take some preseason games. I don't think they should extend the regular season and the playoffs. It should be an either or. But if they subtract those preseason games and then add two more regular season games, maybe they can figure out a balance where, you know, they let some of the younger guys play during the season, in the beginning of the season. You know, more so to see what, you know, they're capable of doing, because the, you know, the preseason is more so laid out for the younger guys trying to make the roster. So now when you're talking about eliminating preseason games, you're taking away the platform for somebody to now make a franchise, whereas though a franchise player already has their spot, you know, solidified. But, you know, an 18-game season, it does, I know it's been talked about for a while now, under the proposed playoff expansion, 7 teams per conference, which is a bit of a, you know, is a difference from, you know, would qualify for the postseason rather than the 6. So, you know, if they figure out the right way to implement this, I think it could really work out. Now, only 1 team per conference would receive a bye instead of the normal 2. Now, that's going to result in a 6 first round playoff game total. Now, the current collective bargain agreement runs through the 2020 season. A number of owners expressed the desire to have a new agreement in place before the upcoming season, but they're less optimistic about the opener, which is just 8 days away. I mean, that would be a bit of a drastic change to start that right now. But going forward, you know, it's going to be some changes. I know the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. I believe their franchise will be the Las Vegas Raiders going forward. This is the last season as them being the Oakland Raiders. So I think change is good. I think with that move, they should definitely put in place, you know, expansion to the season, man. But, you know, the pros and the cons are debatable.
Las Vegas Raiders? Jesus, man, I don't know. If they're good, man, a good football, I'm for it, man. I'm for it, man. I definitely right, man. I got a couple tackles, man, and tackles hurt, man. Got in a couple car accidents and they hurt too, man. So, these players, man, I wish them nothing but safety, man. I could in reforming these new games are also reforming the equipment, making it safer. I just hope whatever they do, man, they just make the game better, make it safer, and make it for the fans, man. I'm all for us having just I'm no linebacker. I don't think I'll ever be a quarterback or anything crazy like that, man. But if I'm watching it from the couch and I'm rooting for the guys, man, I'm all for it.
Definitely, man. And, you know, another thing that comes along with the season is that the best to win the Super Bowl, you know, there's some odds that's come out right now. The Eagles are 14-1 to take it right now. The Vikings 20-1. The Los Angeles Rams 12-1. The Baltimore Ravens 40-1. So there's been some interesting predictions on this upcoming season. I think, you know, the way we're going to wrap up this NFL segment right now is we're going to have some Super Bowl predictions, man. Let's put some Super Bowl predictions out there. We're going to put our best out there to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm going to try not to play hometown favorites right now. I'm going to be realistic. Although I do think that the Eagles have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl, I don't necessarily know whether this is their year. I think they're in a bit of a transition period with some of the older players like Darren Sproles on the last leg of his career, and they're going to have to figure out how to, you know, replace that, you know, that dynamic, those dynamic angles to their offense. So I'm not quite sure whether the Eagles are going to be there, but I'm going to pick them anyway. It's the Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year. Andy Reid is going to make it to the Super Bowl, but he's going to watch the Eagles win the Super Bowl the way he was supposed to, but he's going to be on the other side of the field watching the Eagles put the trophy up there. So I got the Eagles over the Kansas City Chiefs as an early Super Bowl prediction. What's yours?
It's tough to say right now. I gotta look at teams, man. I like Cleveland for some reason. I don't know why. I like the underdog. I don't think they're expected to do much. I think they're more of a sleeper. But I'm calling it now. Cleveland Browns in the Super Bowl this year. What conference are they in again?
They are in the AFC. That's a bold pick. That's your pick for the AFC.
I say the Cleveland Browns, and I'm gonna go with Cleveland Browns, and I don't know, man. Cleveland Browns and NFC. I see the Eagles. Yeah, I think the Eagles definitely coming out the NFC. I don't see anybody else. Yeah, I see Eagles.
I mean, it's gonna be tough, man. But so you heard it. I got the Eagles and the Chiefs, and my man B has the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And that wraps the NFL segment, Sports Bowl Podcast.
Back in it, man. It's me, B. We got Jay Reid in the building, ready to cap off today's episode. Man, we got some pretty interesting topics just to close y'all out, man. Close y'all out with. Jay, what you got for me?
Well, we're going to hit this Tiger news real quick. Tiger Woods underwent a surgery to repair a cartilage in his left knee. It's a minor cartilage damage, but he announced it in a statement on Tuesday. You know, the 43-year-old had the procedure that, you know, last week. And, you know, he pretty much, you know, put his thankfulness out to the doctors, his appreciation out to the doctors that assisted him and, you know, with this surgery. And hopefully we can see him back on the course setting records. You know, 43, he is getting up there, and his best days is definitely behind. But, you know, it's good to see that, you know, Tiger is still, you know, taking this sport serious, and this surgery, you know, it lets me know that he's looking to get back on the course, you know, and continue to set history out there. So we definitely want to, wish Tiger Woods a speedy recovery. He's definitely an icon and an all-time great. So, you know, he's had that surgery, and we're going to look forward to seeing him back on the course. To switch gears to a tragic moment that happened to a Tampa Bay Rays minor league pitcher, Blake Bivens. His wife, child, and mother-in-law were killed in an apparent triple homicide. In Pennsylvania County Sheriff's confirmed on Wednesday that the 25-year-old Emily Bivens, 1-year-old Cullen Bivens, and 62-year-old Joan Bernard were killed. Now, the suspect was 18 years old. I'm not going to announce that man's name on this podcast and give him any type of, you know, credit on this podcast, but it's definitely, you know, a sad circumstance. My heart and prayer goes out to this man's family. You know, never want to take life for granted. This definitely makes, you know, sports seem real minute. But yeah, my heart goes out to this man's family, and that whole situation with his wife, his child, and his mother-in-law is definitely, a topic that I wanted to bring up here and make sure that, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, the prayers and the condolences go out to that man and his family.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely got to give the condolences to his family. It's hard to hear, man. Definitely. I'm not too sure what the reason was for the situation, man, but they actually like canceled their game, right? They had a game like that same day as well, and they went and actually canceled it. Kid was like a fourth round draft pick it's crazy, man. It's just tough, man. It's just somebody with such opportunity and I don't know, man. Something as devastating as that, I'm pretty sure I would never be the same. So man, just prayers and support goes out to him and his family, man.
Absolutely. But we're going to definitely end on a positive note on Sports Vote Podcast. My girl, Serena, steamrolled Sharapova in the long-awaited U.S. Open Clash. This is the normal. This is the regular. Serena Williams' first U.S. Open and meeting with Maria Sharapova turned out like every other matchup in the last 14 years. She rolled over this woman, beating her, you know, for the 19th straight time. Serena has bounced back from the back spasms. The number 8 seed, she took control by winning the final 5 games of a 24-minute opening set. I called it. I knew Serena was an unstoppable force. Sharapova hasn't beaten Serena Williams since a pair of victories in the 2004 year, including a match at Wimbledon. But Serena Williams, I mean, it's this inspirational situation with her, you know, ending the last matchup with the FedEx, you know, situation. But, you know, to see her bounce back and recover, you know, in such a manner where she can come in and step back onto the tennis court and be dominant, man. You know, all the kudos in the world to Serena Williams, man. I knew this was coming, so it's not of any shock value. But just to see the way the last match turned out and to see her bounce back, you know, on this stage and this level, man, I think she's an inspiration, especially to the youth. And, you know, especially to the young black girls out there, they should definitely consider her a major inspiration, man. But Serena, back on the scene doing her thing, you know?
Yeah, man, she's definitely one of those, like underappreciated, like... I don't know, man. I think, and she's a woman at that, man. And then like an African American woman, man, it's kind of beyond me. Like the goals and the accolades that she's received, man. It's and for her to be so, I don't know, man. I think she should just be on such as, I mean, like a monument, dude. Like she's done so much for the sport, man, mm-hmm. and. I don't think she, even with everything that she's been given, I feel like she hasn't received all the recognition that she deserves, man. She had a kid and look at her, man. She's coming back, man. I think she's definitely, man, dude, it's, like you said, like Serena Williams, she's remarkable, man.
She's definitely an all-time great athlete. Male or female, she's definitely one of the best. And just that the comeback, you know, when people, you know, stumble and they fall, just the I'm big on the bounce back. I'm big on how people pick themselves up, and she's obviously done that time and time again. And I think that she's going to continue. I still don't think that we've heard the last of her with this. I think that, you know, this is going to be a springboard into 2020. It's going to, you know, her career is already, you know, in a Hall of Fame level at this point. So she has nothing else to prove. I think right now she's just going to put the icing on the cake, show a bit of inspiration to her newborn that she just did conceive. Now, at this point, you know, we're going to see whether her sister can step up and, you know, win some matches in a similar fashion to end her career as well. But, you know, we definitely want to give major kudos and props to Serena Williams for stepping back after that last match and doing her thing. Now, you definitely make sure you catch all the episodes of Sports Volt Podcast on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public. And of course, at Sports Volt Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And the email sportsvoltpodcast@gmail.com. My man B.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
In the building. Sports Volt Podcast. Make sure you catch all the episodes.